So anyway, as I was saying, we're going into hallowing this name today, the wisdom of God. And we've been doing this book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name, by Dick Eastman and Jack Hayford. And one of my favorite parts of these lessons is that last part where it's hallowing this name, but usually they just list a bunch of scriptures at the back. And I love that. And the way I'm writing the lesson for today is that I'm just going through these scriptures and just praying and asking the Lord to show me, Lord, give me revelation. And how does this relate to that name of Christ? And I'm telling you, Holy Spirit is faithful. It is not just for me. He'll do it for any one of you all. So I encourage you, to go through these scriptures. And the Lord may give you something different than he gave me. But it's such a good lesson. As I said, when we get to heaven someday, guys, I don't want to meet a stranger when I see Jesus. I don't want to be over there saying, hey, is that Jesus? I don't want to be doing that. I want to know him. I want to know who he is. I want to know him. I want to be able to walk up to him and have dialogue. Lord, I remember when. Lord, I remember when you did that. And Lord, I want to have conversation with him. I want to know him on earth. I want to know how he's been interacting in my life. But it's going to come as you draw close to him. He can't draw any closer to you. He cannot know you any better than he knows you right now. So the issue is, if you don't know him well, it's on you. You know, I find that it's on me. You know, when I first came to the Lord, he was like, okay, still some mythical, the Son of God and all that. But now, my goodness, I know what the old lady said when they used to say, he's my best friend. I didn't understand it years ago. I'm like, best friend? Are you kidding me? But now I get it. I get it. He's there in the midnight hour. He's there. You know, so folks, get to know Jesus. These lessons that we've done for the last 2.5 years has all been about getting to know Jesus and who he is and making it personal, making him yours. He is yours. So get to know him. So I'm going to get off my soapbox and get into the lesson. Hallowing this name, we're going to talk about hallowing the wisdom of God. And our key verse is, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken at the right time. And that's Proverbs 25 and 11. And I just want to comment, speaking the words at the right time is a sacred trust that our Lord asks of his people. He's given you the Holy Spirit to do that. So he asks you to speak the right words at the right time. This is speaking the words of the Holy Spirit over the words of your emotions and even your opinions. So that's what that means. Speaking the words of the Holy Spirit over your opinions, over your experience, speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. Our verse here from 1 Peter 5, 1 and 4 showcases what it is to hallow or hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God. These verses speak specifically to spiritual leaders such as pastors, teachers, parents, and anyone else who holds any type of authority over others. That's about everybody. You have some kind of authority over somebody. So these verses are to you, and the verse reads like this. Therefore, I strongly urge the elders among you, pastors, spiritual leaders of the church, as a fellow elder and as a eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm, not lording over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation, and when the chief shepherd Christ appears, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory. And I know that's a lot. That's from the Amplified. And it just says a lot there about leadership. And I encourage you, go back and read those. That is not, and as I said, it's not just, he specifically talks about pastors, but he also talks about spiritual leaders. And that would be everybody. All of you that claim to know Jesus Christ, he's raising you up as leaders at your job, in your home. You know, your children could be your congregation. That could be the congregation we're talking about. So again, you know, don't assume anything. I've learned not to assume anything. When I was raising my children, the Lord would speak to me, don't assume anything. You know, Matthew was a whole new case. I mean, that brother taught me some things. I'm telling you, patience, gentleness, oh my God. But the Holy Spirit, more than anything, was right there teaching and training me how to be a mom. I couldn't assume I knew just because you can have a child doesn't mean you know how to raise a child. Okay, you need the Holy Spirit. You're a spiritual leader in that. And you have to really get into this and pay attention because the next generation depends on it. As I said, God has given you a sacred trust. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Do you know how sacred that is? And the Holy Spirit, he's given Christ's Spirit in you. The wisdom of God is in you. And so as we hold hallow this name, we have to look at what we are called to do. So that's how these two verses are tying in together, is that we're talking about hallowing his name, the wisdom of God, and then in 1 Peter, Peter talks about what this looks like. That you don't lord over people, that you don't try to use them for your own shameful gain, he talks about it. And you do it with wholehearted enthusiasm and not with an attitude. You do it with enthusiasm. If you don't have the enthusiasm, and I know many more Monday mornings, I don't have any enthusiasm. But I'm telling you, when you get into prayer, and oh my God, if you turn on some praise and worship, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will come and change your attitude so you can come in with a smile. So you can come, because your attitude determines the ones that you have the rule over, your attitude will determine how they're going to be. The Lord had to teach me that. If I go into work with an attitude, everybody, it's going to trickle down on everybody's going to have an attitude. But if I go in with a smile, if I go in, you know, I know it's Monday morning, I know it's hard, you know, but going with a smile and with a good attitude, boy, it spreads. I noticed that. I did my own personal study and I said, Lord, you know what? It does make a difference. If I come in with a good attitude, if you have a good attitude, the children will have a good attitude. Daddy, you got a good attitude? The children will have a good attitude. Teachers, if you have a good attitude, the children will be better. That's what it means by the wisdom of God, walking in the wisdom. Yes, we don't give in to how we feel in our body. We don't give in to our emotions. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. Because we have the wisdom of God and his power living in us. So we don't have to give in to that. I know it's easy to do it, but don't do it. I'm telling you, it trickles out. There's a ripple effect. There's a ripple effect, people. And it's so important that we operate and we hold sacred the wisdom of God. Your note says these verses define the wisdom of God in leadership. Note that it is the opposite of what is practiced in Babylon. Babylon endorses arrogant and tyrannical leadership, where often the leader is exempted from righteous living as he and she demands it from their subordinates. See, that doesn't work in God's kingdom. I'm telling you, does not work. God demands righteous living from everybody. God is holy and demands holiness from everyone. No one is exempt or excused because of situations, circumstances, or incidences. You know, we like to blame, well, you don't know what happened, and you don't know. You're not exempt. Okay, you got the memo? You're not exempt. You're still called to hold to the wisdom of God. Holiness is demanded in good times and in bad times. It is demanded when you're feeling good and when you're in pain. Holiness is always demanded, which is living within the wisdom of God. God always requires it of you. Why? Because he has put his power in you to do it. It's not like you can do it. I hear people, I can't. Yes, you can. You don't want to. That's the bottom line. You don't want to pray. You don't want to forgive. You want to be mad for a minute. You want to punish them a little longer with the silent treatment. And with the attitude. I'm sorry, I live on this planet too. I'm human. I know. I know what we're about. Gotta punish them. Just in one more day, and then I'll forgive them tomorrow. But don't you know, at midnight, your soul could be required of you. It can happen so easily. So easily, your soul can be required of you. So I implore you, people of God, that you continue to hold to the wisdom of God. Because even though you don't have the title of pastor or prophet or evangelist, the scriptures tell us that we are all called to be ministers of reconciliation. And you should have the handout. If you don't have the handout, there should be some over there. Ministers of reconciliation. I had to print these scriptures out for you. And this is from 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. And it says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving to you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. You got that? One died for all, therefore we all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I know that's a lot right there, but I'm telling you, folks, it speaks volumes. That we are called, every single person, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are a minister now of reconciliation, reconciling the world to God. And it doesn't mean that you got to walk around waving a Bible at people. It just means you live it. Can you live it in front of people? Live the Bible. That's what people want to see. That's the biggest criticism I hear when people talk about Christians. They're hypocrites. Live it before them. And in doing so, you are a minister of reconciling the world to God. Your note says, in contrast, as we choose to hold sacred the wisdom of God, we lead in righteousness, in righteous living. We are the first in humility, the first in giving, the first in telling the truth, even when there are consequences, being examples of Christian living to the flock. To the flock. Everywhere. We're the first. I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, the one that knows the most needs to be the first one to do the right thing. Isn't that true? The one that knows the Word of God more should be the first one to do the right thing. You've got that. You have that gift. You've got that sacred. But as the scripture says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's a treasure to the world. How dare you hold to it and not give it out and not pour it out? That is the wisdom of God. And I love what he was saying, talking about being out of, some people think they're out of their mind, he says here. You know, so what, he said. It's like a so what if they think we're out of our minds. We got a job to do. We've got work to do. If you're a fool, be God's fool. If they think you're a fool, be God's fool. Hallelujah. And hallowing and holding, that should be in your notes, it says, and hallowing and holding sacred his name, the wisdom of God, we hold sacred his counsel and principles when surrounded by temptation to follow the status quo. We believe that his counsel brings wonder, might, and peace as described in Isaiah 9:6. Calls him wonderful counselor. It says the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We bring that to the table. Don't you know when you act in his wisdom, you're bringing that to the table. You're bringing that wonder, that might, and that peace to the situation. But you have to remain in the wisdom of God. Don't get caught up in foolish arguments. And if you find yourself that you did get caught up in a foolish argument, step out quickly. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's leave. I need to leave this alone. Step out of it. Because the enemy was taunting you. He's poking you. Now, the scripture says that we are hidden in Christ. So because the enemy can't see you because you're hidden in Christ, he's poking. Like you're in some kind of bag and he's poking. See if I can get him or her to scream out. And you scream out and you're like, okay, I've had enough. I need to tell you something. Uh-oh. Now I got her. Screaming out now. She's screaming, yeah, baited you. Poke that bag and, oh, there you go. So stay hidden in Christ. We believe and hold to Christ as the faithful and true witness in this world, as it says in Revelation 1:5, 3, and 14, where the prince of the power of the air is a liar. The prince of the power of the air is a liar that continuously seeks our destruction. And you've got to get that. You've got to get that. We hold his way sacred for our own protection. Do you get that? You're holding his way sacred, the wisdom of God, living in the wisdom of God, for your own protection. God has shown me that. When he has told me to keep, don't say it, keep your mouth shut. And oh my God, I am so glad, so many times, that I kept my mouth shut. Because man, I had a speech ready, man. And I'm so glad that he told me, don't say it, let it go. Let it go. And that is the wisdom of God because it protected me down the road. When you step out of the wisdom of God, you step into vulnerability and danger. And there is no middle ground here, okay? Don't think you're just straddling the fence. You know, I may not be doing what God has for me to do, but I'm not doing what the devil tells me to do. There's no middle ground, folks. I'm sorry. Either you're in the wisdom of God or you're in the flesh. In the enemy, and the enemy can do whatever he wants. You're vulnerable. When you're in the flesh, you're vulnerable. When you've got all this emotion and all this attitude, you're vulnerable, folks. And as I said before, even when you call yourself defending God, you cannot defend God in the spirit of his enemy. You cannot defend him that way. You defend God within the realm of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that means being quiet. As the scripture said about our Lord and Savior, as a sheep before his shearers are dumb, he opened not his mouth. If anybody had a speech, if anybody had something to say, he did. But the scripture says he opened not his mouth, but he was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And that's the reason why they say even, because that was the humiliation. That was such a humiliation for him. But he kept his mouth shut. And you can't even stay out of a conversation. You can't stand back and see something going on and just pray. Don't say a word, just pray. Just pray. Don't return insult or evil for evil. But pray. Return love when people insult you. Return. That's the wisdom of God. I know it's opposite from what you learned. You know, get them back. I got a good plan on how we can get it back. And do this and do that. That's Babylon, folks. You are not operating in the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hurt you. Pray for them. that despitefully use you. That's the wisdom of God. So where are you living? What are you holding sacred? And I love this part. I tell you, I love this part of the lesson because this is the part where the rubber meets the road. What are you going to hold to when that thing happens? God, you know, I can be with you at all things, but don't let that happen. And then it happens. You know, are you like Job? Remember what Job said? He said, the thing that I feared the most has happened. Folks, what do you do when it happens? Do you hold? Do you hold? I'll be all right as long as he doesn't say anything to me. If he says something to me, all bets are off. I'm good, God, as long as you keep him from saying something to me. But can you hold it sacred? I hold your wisdom above all else, Lord God. And even if something is said to me, oh God, I hold sacred. Do you hear what I'm saying? Folks, it is time for us to live as children of God. Enough talk. Yeah. Enough chatter. Enough. Absolutely. Let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. Enough of the big King James on your desk and the big giant cross around your neck. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying. Live it. When the times are hard, when the emotions are high, live it. Hold sacred. I want you to hear it. Hold sacred the wisdom of God during those times. Sometimes it's not even us deliberately obeying God. It's just a matter of neglect of prayer. And I want you to really get this. Sometimes you're not planning. I wasn't planning to disobey God. You just didn't pray. I said, the enemy's preparing for you. He's preparing for you tomorrow. He knows about your meetings. And he's preparing for you tomorrow. So what excuse you have if you don't take time to pray and prepare to hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God? You haven't even prepared to hold it sacred. So how are you going to do it? Neglect. How should you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? That's why that question is asked in the scriptures. It's a rhetorical question for us to ponder on. How are you going to escape if you neglect? You don't pray, you don't read your word. How are you going to stand up to the spiritual forces that are coming against you? You will not. You will fail. You have to have your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit built up. You have to be holding sacred. Your note says you were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. You were following. That's what we used to be. And now we have become something else, but there's still others that are out there, the disobedient, they're unbelieving. And they fight against the very purposes of God. This is scripture. They don't even know they're fighting against the purposes of God because they're influenced by an evil one. They don't have the Holy Spirit like you do to fight. So again, you're holding to the wisdom of God is so critical. The next point on our note says, Christ is a good teacher. As you hold sacred his teachings, it will lead you and your family to blessings in your life. He is good. In contrast, the prince of the power of the air, the lying force, will seek to deceive you with unwise counsel that will destroy you and your family. Again, folks, I keep telling you, this is a ripple effect. Sin is messy. It doesn't just hit you. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just doing this. I'm just doing this myself. No. Sin is going to, messy, it's going to hurt somebody else. I'm telling you, it'll hurt someone else. Satan will urge you on to destruction in the heat of your emotions, but hold. by the power of the Holy Spirit to the Christ, the wisdom of God. You have to set your mind. You have to accept the fact that negative emotions will come every day. Accept it. That it's going to come. He's going to be knocking, trying to get you to think about things that happened in the past, even if nothing happened. The enemy, the liar. Remember back in 2014 when she made that comment, and he'll bring the whole vision back to you. So prepare yourself. Put on your helmet of salvation. Remember, the helmet covers your head. The helmet of salvation. I'm a Christian. My salvation is intact. So I pray and I read my word, my helmet of salvation, and wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Have the word of God ready to deal with that thing. When you look outside each morning, when you look at the calendar, dress yourself. You dress yourself accordingly, don't you? When you look outside and you see snow and ice, and you look at the calendar and you see it's January, and you see all that snow and ice, oh boy, it snowed last night. You are not going out there with a tank top and shorts. Are you? You will dress yourself accordingly. You're going to have on your warm clothes, your boots on, going to have your hat on, going to have the parka on. You're going to be ready. Because Colorado winters don't play. But yet you walk out amongst the hordes of hell every day and don't prepare. No armor on. No helmet. No shield. No breastplate. Didn't even bother. Just rushed on out. I'm too busy. I got too much to do. And then you come back at the end of the day all full of arrows. Walking back into camp. All full of arrows. Just want to get in your bed and pull the covers over your head. Because you didn't dress properly. You went out there with a tank top and the shorts, and it was blizzarding out there. So you can't. I want you to really get that image in your head. How are you dressing out there? We are surrounded by the hordes of hell. There's going to come a day when Jesus puts them in hell. But right now, folks, we're fighting every day. Dress accordingly. The armor of God needs to be put on. The scriptures tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. And that's on the next scripture on your handout here. It's from Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. And it says, therefore, see that you walk carefully. See that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. There it is right there in Scripture. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. There's one translation that says walk circumspectly. It comes from two words, circumference and spectacle, which means glasses. It means to look all around you. That's what circumspectly means, to look all around you. Look in a full circle. Be cautious as you go out there. Don't go out there all naked. Don't. And wonder why the enemy's beating you up. That's why. Remember, he's like a roaring lion seeking someone who does not have on their armor. When it says seeking who he may devour, he is seeking the ones that don't have their armor on. The next point says, as you hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God, he will shed light into the confusion and frustration of your situation. He will bring it to a good resolution. Sometimes it will not be the resolution that we want, but it will be a good resolution brought by his wisdom, a resolution which edifies. It will always be a resolution that edifies. It may not be the resolution you wanted, but it will always be a resolution that edifies. The Holy Scriptures declare, the people who walk in spiritual darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. And that's from Isaiah 9:2. This is the prophecy of the coming of wisdom, even Jesus Christ, to bring light to the affairs of humanity. He's here. He has come. He's done everything he could do to bring light to your affairs. But it's up to you to invite that light, to invite that wisdom into your affairs. You don't know enough to battle the enemy. I told you that. He's been around for millions of years, folks. I'm telling you. You've been around, compared to that, you've been around 2 seconds. And you think you can battle? No, you can't. The only one that can battle is the light that has come into the world, even Jesus Christ. The next point says, within Christ, the wisdom of God, justice dwells. It may not appear like your definition of justice, but it will be the true justice that lives within the wisdom of God. And we got to really get that, because sometimes we want justice our way. Because our understanding and knowledge of things is so limited, we must trust in Christ's wisdom within his justice. Right now, we have a system of justice in the world. And without that system of justice, we would have chaos. People would do all kind of things. But that system of justice is limited. It's limited by the knowledge of man. It's limited by power. And it's limited by corruption. But it's the system, the only system we have to just keep things at bay, to just kind of keep our societies going. But because of all of that, because our system of justice is corrupt, we must trust that God's justice will be carried out in his time, on his schedule. Please don't try to take it into your own hands. Justice into your own hands. Please, if you felt you've been treated unfairly, trust in God's justice. Don't try to do it yourself. Trust in God's justice. That's just what the enemy wants you to do. Yeah, just jump over here. I'll tell you what you can do. Please trust in his justice. Don't step out of God's wisdom. Hold it sacred, even when you feel like you're not getting any justice. No injustice goes unaddressed by God. Can I say that again? No injustice goes unaddressed by God. People say that, people think that, but no injustice will go unaddressed by God. God will take care of in his time, on his schedule. Now, this is a part of it. Sometimes it is addressed by punishment, and sometimes it is addressed by repentance and forgiveness. Oh, we don't like that piece. But it is the justice of God. That's why Jesus died. Because we all deserve death. So if you can't forgive your brother, you want him to have death, but you want to be redeemed, that doesn't work like that. Sometimes God's justice operates in repentance and forgiveness and not necessarily punishment. Sometimes it's punishment and sometimes it's something else. But it's God's justice and we trust it. We trust it. Remember what the scripture says? It says, it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his word. And thank God he took care of me. Let me finish. I'm gonna open for comments in just a bit. So we have to understand that about God's justice, you know, that we leave it in his hands. Jeremiah 50:7 says, all who found them devoured them. Their enemy said, we did nothing wrong in attacking them, for they sinned against the Lord, their true place of rest and hope of their ancestors. Now that was an interesting verse. When I read that, I was like, let me help me with this one, Holy Spirit. So what it's saying is Israel's enemies, because, you know, as I said, when you go to these verses, go look at the context in which they're saying this, because this was an interesting context in which this was said. Israel's enemies commented in Jeremiah 50 and 7 that they had done nothing wrong in devouring Israel because they were a nation that sinned against God. Oh, man. What a sad commentary for a nation who proclaimed to serve the true and the living God. Although God allowed Israel to be captured and taken into exile at that time, he also knew that the time in exile would make them more committed to him. Wow. You get what this verse is saying? How can we not think about our beloved United States of America? Folks, we made a covenant with God years ago when we were established. We did. Many of you are familiar with the books by Jonathan Cahn, The Harbinger. Oh my God, did he break it down for us or not? This man broke it down for us. The covenant that the United States of America made with God when it was established. And see, what the United States had to realize is that it wasn't just about writing a Constitution and a Declaration of Independence. That covenant came with a God. It came with God, see. They wanted to ignore the God that came with all these documents, but that protection that we got, those wars that we won, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, we got through the Civil War, and we're still here stronger than ever. All the blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings came with an almighty God. And now, we want to cast him aside. It doesn't work like that. See, you made a covenant. And boy, here it is in the scriptures. Jeremiah 50 and 7, where the enemies of Israel are saying, we did nothing wrong because they did not honor their God. They did not honor. We didn't do anything wrong. God let us come in there and destroy them. God let us do this. Are you hearing me, America? We got to consider this. We fail to adhere and to hold to the wisdom and the way of God. We trusted in our money. We have in God we trust on our money. We still on our money. We got in God we trust. In our courts of law, you go in a courtroom, in God we trust. Some of our sacred buildings, we got in God we trust. And yet, we made a covenant with God. And yet we want to step outside of his wisdom. And I'll tell you, boy, when I saw that, boy, I just shuddered when I saw that, Jeremiah 50 and 7. I shuddered. I said, Lord, that's us. That's us. That's us. So folks, that's what I'm saying. There's never been a more critical time for us to pray and to be the children of the living God. Because I know he will protect his own. I know he will take care of his own. But the scriptures record it. That even our enemies will say that. And I know I've heard comments that our enemies have said stuff like this. Well, they don't serve God. They don't. The next point says the importance of hallowing Christ's name, the wisdom of God, lies within the fact that he is the lawgiver. His laws will not and cannot be changed. His laws cannot be violated without consequence. His laws were created out of wisdom. They were put in place because of his love for us and for our protection. So always keep in mind that although he gave us free will, his laws cannot be violated without consequences. That's what you guys have to know. That's a caveat that goes along with free will. Free will comes with responsibility. Therefore, it would behoove you to submit your free will to God. Submit your free will to the lawgiver. Because there are consequences for violating his laws. The next point, Christ's wisdom brings the spirit of justice. We're back to the justice again. And as you hold his wisdom sacred, you will long for his justice. Within his wisdom, you will come to understand the importance of his justice. Isaiah 28 speaks of the coming destruction of the city of Samaria because of their sin. Isaiah records in verses 6 and 7, he will give a longing for justice to their judges. Now, however, Israel is led by drunks who reel with wine and stagger with alcohol. The priests and the prophets stagger with alcohol and lose themselves in wine. Wow. Without justice, the people cast off all restraints, and there is no leadership, no progress, no protection, no future for you or your children. That is what happens when there's no justice. There's no future for anybody when there's no justice. All of society will fall apart when there's no justice. And that was the case again. We look back at Israel. My goodness. They said their leadership was drunk. Even the priests and the prophets were drunk. And how sad that was for them. That everybody was sinning. There was no justice in the land. So therefore, God had to deal with them. Things can get so bad that you will long for justice. And that's what happened here. Things can get so bad, folks, that we will long for justice. I was just reading the statistics of crime in Pueblo. Oh my goodness. We were in the USA Today, someone said, because the crime, I think Pastor Steve was saying that a few months ago, the crime level in Pueblo is just ridiculous. A friend of mine, she was telling me the other day that someone broke into her son's car. He went outside to go check on it, and the person was in the car and tried to stab him. He just missed a knife by the grace of God. I mean, just, and these are common stories. You're hearing every day. Drugs have just taken over. And the drugs, most of the crimes are related, drug-related. Things get so bad that we long for the justice of God. Not just any justice. We're going to long for the justice of God. Not just rules that men make up, men and women make up. They go the legislature and what people vote for. People vote for all kind of craziness. And at some point, it's going to get so bad, we're going to long for the justice of God. It's amazing the lack of foresight in our societies today. We see our own society decay as we make decisions. And often we make decisions for the moment. We don't look to the next generation and what the next generation is going to have to endure. We just make decisions so we can feel good today. And we don't think about the generation of tomorrow. How are our children going to live? What kind of society are they going to live on? What kind of planet are they going to live on? Thank God we're getting a vision on recycling and a vision on clean air and a vision on, you know, we're getting something. But we got to be careful. So many, you know, we have made decisions, folks, right now that have fostered the extinction of the human race. We have made decisions that foster our own extinction. We have made laws that foster our own extinction. We will long for the justice of God one day. We will long for his wisdom. Lord, I just, as I read your word, I wish that was the law of the land like it used to be. Father, I wish. Because it's so bad now, Lord God. We're suffering so much. We didn't think about tomorrow when we made the decision. The next point in your note says, to hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God, may mean carrying out justice for the sake of the survival of the nation, family, church, community, businesses, and future generations. Wow. You may have to make some hard decisions. You may have to make some hard decisions based on the wisdom of God. Sometimes when you're standing in the wisdom of God, you do have to make some hard decisions that people are not going to agree with. They're going to be upset with you. But you're going to have to make those decisions for the survival of the nation, the family, the church, the community, your business. Hold sacred the wisdom of God. It will stand in any fire, in any flame. It's going to stand. It also may mean you may have to let some things go. You may have to let some relationships go. You have to be obedient to God over anything. You have to be obedient. And that means, some people are going to leave you. As they did Jesus. They left him too. We're talking about holding sacred. We're talking about hallowing the wisdom of God today. That's what we're talking about. The next point says how wonderful it would be if we held sacred as the Messiah, held him sacred as the Messiah, the anointed one, as did the Samaritan woman in John 4. This woman at the well was holding to her faith of the coming of the Messiah, and when she met him and had a conversation with him, she was convinced that he was the Messiah, the one who could explain everything, the wisdom of God, and she ran and she told everybody, man. As soon as he started to talk to her, she knew who he was, and she ran and told. The verse says, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus said, told her, I am the Messiah! Exclamation point. Now skipping to verse 39, now many Samaritans from that city believed him and trusted in him as Savior because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me all the things that I have done. Folks, I'm telling you, if you just operate the wisdom of God, people will see your life and they'll be like, how did you know to do that? You know what? I was just in prayer. God brought it to me in prayer. And I knew what to do. I don't know anything about this, but I went into prayer, and because this woman, she heard Jesus, and she just went and told, listen. And all these people came to know Christ. Next point says, for you, O Lord, are my lamp. The Lord illumines and dispels my darkness. That's 2 Samuel 22:29. If you would hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God, he would bring a lighted path to follow all situations. When things look bleak or even hopeless, call on him and he will show you the way out. He will show you the way out. See Jeremiah 33:3 on that one. He is faithful, that promise. Hallelujah. Is he not? He is faithful, that promise. You can trust him. I'm telling you, we already said it, but I got to say it again. Why would you trust anything else? Folks, been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and the hat of trusting other stuff. Money, power, Word of God will stand. He is faithful, that promise. The scripture says, I wisdom, dwell with prudence, which is farsightedness, thinking of the future. That's what prudence means. And find out knowledge and discretion. That's Proverbs 8:12. When you hold sacred his name, the wisdom of God, you take the time to find out his knowledge before proceeding. As with human laws, ignorance of the law does not excuse you from the consequences of it. Let me say that again. Ignorance of the law does not excuse you from the consequences of it. Ignorance of the law does not excuse you from the consequences of it. Just as it is in any law system. If you go and murder somebody and then say, I didn't know that killing was against the law, they're going to still try you and put you in prison. Ignorance of God's law doesn't mean you're excused from the consequence. And I hear people say that all the time. I don't know why God didn't do this. I don't know why God. Sometimes you're ignorant of something in God's law. Why doesn't he bless me? Why doesn't he bless me? Do you give? No, I don't give. Well, let's read the scripture on giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That's what the scripture says. Oh, I didn't know that scripture. Now you know. Start giving and watch God bless your life. We have to know His word. God is forgiving and gracious, and His wisdom will decide your consequences. However, He will expect you to learn from your experiences and make future decisions in light of the knowledge of His word. And if you don't learn it, you're going to go around the mountain again. Can I tell you, as a witness of a mountain runner, someone that went around a mountain a time or two, if you don't learn it, you're going to go around that mountain. You know why? Because He's a good, good father. He's a good daddy. Daddy's not going to just push you along and let you get into something that you're not ready for. Daddy's going to keep you right here until you're ready. Daddy discipline, honey. Daddy's like, no, you're not ready. You stay home tonight. But I want to go. No, you stay home tonight because you're not ready. And that's the way our Lord does. Next verse, we're almost done, and we'll open for questions. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. That's Revelation 19:13. His wisdom within His Word is available to us because of the blood of Christ. If we learn of it and do not walk in it, we are without excuse. You're learning. You're hearing it right now. I'm sorry, but you're going to be responsible for the words you heard today. You're responsible now, okay? I'm sorry, but you are. Shouldn't have walked into the class. Now you're responsible. Shouldn't have walked into this church. You're going to hear some more when you go to church, to the sanctuary. You're responsible. So you are without excuse. Some will call you a fool, as I said earlier, about holding to the wisdom of God. But as I said, if you're going to be a fool, be God's fool. Christ is faithful and always responsible for the consequences of your obedience. Let me say that again. Christ is faithful, and He will be responsible for the consequences of your obedience. That's a sermon I heard years ago by Charles Stanley. God is responsible for the consequence of your obedience. For He has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not, exclamation point. That is Hebrews 13 and 5 in the Amplified. Read it in the Amplified, folks. That is a good one. That's something to post on the mirror, that I'm never going to leave you. Hebrews 13, 5. Also see Isaiah 63, 9. That's another encourager that God's got you. And don't worry about missing God. God sees your heart. And if you are sincere and trying to hold to the wisdom of God, sometimes you worry about misstepping. If you're doing it in faith, God will guide you. He'll make sure that you're okay. And then our final scripture says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, amen. And that's from 1 Timothy 1:17. Any comments?
Well, I have a question and I have something to say. I went to Dr. Eddie's funeral, knowing Dr. Eddie for a long time. And one of the things the whole family said, and I know this is true, he never had a negative thing to say. I have no two other men. My father was one. He lived it. Right in his own home, right here on the few of us.
Yeah.
Never. And Al Benfati from Benfati, the three of them. My question is, my dad, they were all Catholic, did not grow up knowing Christ or asking Him into their heart that I know of something, but they never, never had any negative or bad thing to say and lived really good life. Why? Yeah, because, what? You know, we've accepted the Lord and grown. I can't say I took after my father. Why do we have to work so hard as who have asked the Lord and stayed in Scripture and that to be what you just discussed, you know.
You know, what we said a few weeks ago is that salvation is a plan. There's a plan of salvation. And Christ compels that we grow and we grow up. And I know there's a lot of good people that have lived. And one thing about the Catholics that I know about the Catholic faith is that they have this thing called confirmation.
Yes.
Where the child has to decide, I believe at age 12, they have to decide whether they are going to accept Christ into their heart or not.
Okay, without saying any formula or prayer, have Christ in you in that knowledge from the time you were young. My dad was just good from the time.
I believe this. I believe that there will be three surprises in heaven. That people that you thought would not be there will be there. Because none of us knows who accepted him. I'm just saying, I know for the Catholic Church, I know that they do that particular piece. You know, so you don't know if they did it as a child. We don't know. So there will be people in heaven that you didn't think would be there. And then there will be people there that you thought would be there, won't be there. And then the third surprise is that you will be there. So, so I think we'll be surprised.
Why some of us have to try so hard to always be good, and others it just seem to be so easy.
Because, Connie, some of us are hungry, you know. So,
I know.
And some of us, you know, as we talked about the temperaments too, I think that different people have different temperaments, and some people have very gentle temperaments, and other people, they're just real strong cholerics that really need a lot of work. But for all of us, even for the gentle ones, God calls us to grow up. He is constantly calling us to grow up, come up a little higher. We go from glory to glory, says the scriptures. You know, and it's a joy. It's a joy. It's not a chore. You know, don't look at it as a chore. It's a joy.
It doesn't seem fair that some people are just that way. Mm-hmm. Gentle and higher.
Tell me about
nice.
It. Yeah. Tell me about it. And some people have to work at it.
And some of us have to work. My father said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But it was even in our intimate family. He meant it. He lived it.
You know, but I encourage you.
And he was nice. Everybody loved
it. I encourage you to look at the temperaments. You know, because even though it seems easy for some people to be gentle, they still have their weaknesses and their strengths. And even though the people that are real ornery seem like they're difficult to deal with, they have weaknesses in their strength. Like the people that are strong-willed and ornery, they make your best leaders. They make your best leaders, I'm telling you. You know, the people that, those people will lead. Yeah, well, there you go. Go lead. Go lead. Anybody else? That's true. That's true. You're ornery.
Are you on?
I sure am. I got a lot of horns with people sometimes, but they're my best leaders.
One thing bringing out in the study is a justice. I want to tell everybody that be aware of the justice of God. I've experienced things that the Lord has done in that and it's amazing what God does. He knows how to handle things. You talk about, you know, we need to get away from people. You know, God has a big thing. He can remove people.
Wow.
So that's what I want to say with the word, is beware of the justice of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, Job lost everything. He lost I can't even imagine losing all of your children. You know, I can't even, and all your property and all your land. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Boy, I don't know if I could, it would take me a minute. I don't know, you know, but I understand what he's saying, how much he trusted God, you know, and he had a lot to say after that, but at that moment,
really
that was his declaration.
That, for me, that to see how the Lord was defending me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the tops.
Yeah. And when God defends you, boy, what does the scripture say? He'll make your cause shine like the noonday sun. And he will.
Yeah.
He will. Anybody else? Anybody? Okay. Cindy, I knew you. I can see it in your eye.
Yeah, glory to God. But I was just thinking about a couple times that that's happened. And you pray and you pray, and it's usually about bad leadership or leadership where There are people who are unkind and don't appreciate or value or take care of the people that work under them. And there was a situation this last week that I prayed, John and I prayed for 2 years, at least 2 years now. And then my daughter told me something. I said, oh, that is an answered prayer. I am so excited. And just praying that God will replace this person who left with someone who cares, someone with compassion that can take care of the people under them.
Yes. This time, isn't this time beautiful and perfect? You know, I just have realized I don't have enough information to run someone else's life, or even to run my own life. So I have to just, so it's good to just wait on God and let him bring the right person into your life at the right time. So,
you know, it was like my grandson. He must have been about 3 or 4, and I told him, you're not supposed to do wrong, Jakey, because, you know, there's consequences. So he turns to his mom, and he tells, Mom, what's consequences? But see, that little guy will never forget that. And we told him, you do wrong, it's going to be bad for you. In his lingo and his little state of mind, and I think that's what we have to do. Speak to them where they're at, because we think to ourselves, well, he won't understand. He didn't understand that great big word, but he did when I told him, when we sin or we do bad, we get bad things. They're not good for us. So just remember. Just looked at his mom. But you know, as we were going through the study, we know so much in the part of, as far as the Word of God. We know all this stuff that we've been thinking, but when you think about it, the best thing I could get out of what we went through is know who you are in Christ and know the ambassador you are in Christ and know that we are here for a purpose. And that's only to see souls saved.
Amen.
There's nothing else I could possibly say from this study other than know who you are in Christ.
Wow. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking about your grandson. He knew enough to get some intel on consequences. Like he, at least he was asking, so what is this? Get some intel. You know, look in your Bible and get some intel on consequences. You know what's happening. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for this lesson, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this whole lesson on the wisdom of God, Lord. God, I pray that we would walk in it, Lord God. Father, we understand that we must redeem the times because the days are evil, Lord God. Father, I pray your people, we your people, would rise up and be your people, Lord God, that we would walk in your power, that we would walk in the wisdom of God. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord God, that when we feel the enemy drawing us by our emotions and drawing us by things that we want, oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would pull us back by your Holy Spirit into the wisdom of God. Oh, Lord, encapsulate us in the wisdom of God. Oh, Lord, I pray that we pray, Lord God, I pray that we would not walk out the door with our armor off, Lord God. Remind us, Lord God. Show us your will, show us your way. And Lord, I pray as we walk in the wisdom of God, show us yourself. Oh Lord, come into our lives, come into our families. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, the wisdom of God, we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.